Welcome to the IP 360 podcast, brought to you by IP Private Wealth. This podcast talks about wealth, health, and all the different ways we measure our success. It's a true 360-degree look at what wealth means to you. This is a special Beyond the Ice edition, brought to you by the IP Hockey Family Office. Today, we're talking about the NHL playoffs and life after the ice. How can hockey players get their house in order during the off-season? We pose this question to Kent Manderville, director of the IP Hockey Family Office, the branch of IP Private Wealth dedicated to wealth management for hockey professionals. Kent's 16-year NHL hockey career, paired with his designation as a certified financial planner, gives him great insight into life beyond the ice for pro players. Kent, great to talk with you again. It's an exciting time of year, playoff season. Tell me, what's on your mind about the playoffs right now?
Well, it's great hockey for sure. You can tell in the intensity of the players and the intensity of the games, and it just and then when you watch the games in the U.S. with the fan dynamic, you forget how much you miss that, and to have that intensity is really wonderful to watch, and it makes for great entertainment. And I got to tell you, as a player, no better time in the year to be playing than the playoffs.
Do you think the energy in the room when there's a crowd physically present makes a difference to the actual playing?
Absolutely. I mean, you like to say as a professional, you bring it every game, you bring it every shift, but that emotional charge and just having in Montreal, in the Montreal-Toronto series, they had 2,500 people in Montreal in the Bell Center. And that changed the dynamic of that series because you have the fans. Now it's the same for both teams, but still, just the energy that you feed off of, you know, during the playoffs, you're tired. I mean, I played in a game where we played five extra overtimes, almost three games back to back to back. So,
oh my God,
when you're tired and you're, you know, you're really digging deep and you're battling and the guy you're battling against is battling just as hard, you need that extra energy and the fans. And even if you're on the road and you feed off that energy, and it's a great dynamic. So it's, you can tell in the Northern series, it is missing compared to, you know, you're looking at Vegas or Tampa, these cities. It's really fun to watch. And as a player, as a former player, I do miss it for sure.
Yeah, actually. And then my second question would be, when you're playing an away game and the crowd is primarily cheering for your opponent, does that in any way intimidate, or is it just good energy no matter what? You're just excited to be around hockey fans.
Yeah, I think it really becomes just good energy. And when you're on the road, you can actually get the fans working against the home team. If, for example, you have a great penalty kill. So the expectation is the home team power play is going to get some momentum. But if you disrupt them and you prevent them from scoring or even setting up, I've seen it where the home team fans really get on the home team. So as a road team, you love that. You feed off that. You thrive off that. So it really, and then just, you know, the big hits and the fans' reactions, it doesn't matter. They're cheering. And when you're in the moment, you don't care if they're cheering for you or against you. And when they cheer against you, it's even that much better.
That's awesome. So tell us a little bit about what's going on for players right now through the playoff season.
You know what? This is the time of year where guys just put the blinders on, and it's basically game day or off day. So, and that's a wonderful thing, because when I was in Toronto in 93 in particular, we played three straight series that went game seven, and it was every other day we played a game day. So, you know, it's basically this peak, and then on the off day you come down. And I remember, I mean, a guy like Doug Gilmore, the guy was running on fumes. The guy's maybe 165 pounds soaking wet.
Right.
But the amount of, like, that was tremendous to see up close in what he was able to bring night in, night out. But I think as a team, and I've been on teams that I get on roles in playoffs, it's a great dynamic, right? You thrive off that energy of the team. And that's what really you bring, you know, those off days. When I was in Philly, we went on a good run in 2000, and the team took us out to team meals on the road. And, you know, you're having some wine, you're having some steak, you're having a nice meal, and then you relax. And then on the game days, it's all business. right? And you don't even do really morning skates or practices. You're just saving it all for the games. And then the games are just this, you know, this intense, just no holds barred, everything out on the ice, full comp. It's like gladiator style hockey. And it's great. And then after the game, it's back down and, you know, conserving energy and, you know, rinse, repeat, and away you go.
Is it hard to turn it on and off like that? Like when you get off the ice, are you just, you're just tired, you hit the mattress, or are there guys who are kind of running around the hotel, can't quite gear down after a big game?
It's hard to gear down after a big game, no question. But I think that's where that game, that day off becomes so important. And then you really allow yourself mentally and physically just to kind of relax. And this is where, quite frankly, on a family basis, my wife was amazing, right? Like she, you know, took the kids and, you know, I made sure I got enough sleep or anything like that, because that becomes so important. So it really becomes a whole household thing, but it doesn't, it's hard to explain, but you really get into a rhythm, right? And especially when you get on a roll, the weather gets nicer. You know, it's lighter out longer. When you leave the rink, it's beautiful weather, and it's psychologically, it's just a fun time to play. So not hard at all. I have to say the hardest thing is when you lose, and I never won the Stanley Cup, so inevitably you lose. And it's that feeling of just being, it's almost like a mini retirement. Like you basically, you're in the groove, you're going, every day is important, and then nothing. And you're a little bit like Wile E. Coyote suspended out over the cliff in that minute before he goes down, and he's like looking around and you're like, yeah, I don't have to be at the rink. It goes from full intensity to, yeah, I have all this free time. And it's hard mentally. It's very hard.
Yeah. And so is that what happens? Just like, there's no more training, there's no more practice. You just get a true break from the sport. The moment that your time is off, done in the playoffs.
Yeah. You basically, you know, you wake up the next day and you know, you have your clean out the locker room and media availability session. And then, you know, guys start making plans for maybe taking a trip with other guys or, you know, family, or just to get away. But yeah, I always found that part really hard, because you really are in the moment of things. And especially the farther you go, the harder it is just to adjust mentally. And then of course, and especially when you're younger, right? You think, oh, this is the way it always is. Yeah. And you forget how hard it is to get to that point in the playoffs. And as you get older, you think, oh yeah, no, this is hard. And then you think, how many more of these years do I even have left in me?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And we were talking a little bit, just you and I, around the concept of the summer break. And so, you know, there's that abrupt end, wherever it is that your season ends, there's an abrupt end there. And a guy whose life is otherwise heavily scheduled and managed by a series of professionals and, you know, team responsibilities, now you're on your own. And it's kind of this time where maybe it's time to get your house in order, right? All the things that didn't get done during playoff season, or even possibly during the whole season, are supposed to happen now. And that's got to be a weird transition from focus on hockey 24/7 to here's the rest of the stuff going on in your world.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is no doubt a challenge. And you know, I was a player who, you know, bottom six, penalty kill specialist, really more of a grinder. You didn't have that contract, I'm going to say security. I mean, there was one time in my career where I signed a three-year deal, but it was unusual. So when you come into the off season too, you're thinking, okay, well, where am I playing next year? And then that becomes a function of how did the season go for the team? How did the season go for you personally? And now you have the dynamic of the salary cap. A guy like Zach Hyman in Toronto, wonderful player, but may have priced himself out of Toronto just because of their salary structures with their top guys. So then you have this uncertainty. So a guy like him, he will find a job, no question, within the league, and where he gets to go, he'll have some say in it. But for a lot of guys, where you go, maybe it's not up to you. And this summer in particular, there's an expansion draft with Seattle coming into the league for next fall. So it just, there's a lot of uncertainty. And so we always had an off-season home that we would go to, but no question that it's easy to kick the can down the road, right? There's things that you need to address, whether it's taxes, whether it's estate planning, whether it's, you know, what's my cash flow and what's this going to look like? What am I going to do after in retirement? What am I going to do in transition? Sowing those seeds when you're playing is the time to do it. It's so easy. It's easy to do it, but the problem is it's easy not to do it, right? Mm-hmm. It's easy to throw yourself into training. It's easy to throw yourself into family and you deal with that immediate need versus looking long-term where you really, your focus should be.
And is that a matter of discipline? Is it a matter of having the right people around you to sort of get you on track? Is it about guys just feeling like they don't even know where to start or what questions to ask? Like what's typically what holds people back?
Everything you said, all of the above, right? Because guys, a lot of guys don't have the paradigm to even know where to start. So Donald Rumsfeld, the U.S. Secretary of Defense said it, there's known unknowns and there's unknown unknowns. And if you don't know the questions to ask, well, how do you even know where to even go with that? Who do you know even who to trust? So I would say partly it's your team. And when I say team, it's not your hockey team. It's your financial advisor. It's your accountant. It's your estate attorney. It's your insurance person or risk management. It's all these different, you know, your board of advisors, if you will, saying, hey, this needs to be addressed. This needs to be talked about. Your agent, where are you going to be with your contract next year? What kind of disability insurance are we going to get for you? Are you going to be just in a one-year deal that has ramifications on what kind of disability insurance you have? What kind of injuries have you had? So guys have discipline within the context of their career because you can't last in the NHL without discipline. Mm-hmm. It's takes too much training, nutrition, sleep, skill development, all these things. Anybody who plays any substantial amount of time in the NHL has discipline. The question is, do you have discipline on the things that matter off the ice? And some guys do, and some guys don't. Some guys are starting their own businesses. Tom Wilson in Washington, it's like Sundays Natural Ingredients. It seems really cool. So some guys have those other interests. Other guys are, you know, playing video games. And so I think it's part of the advisors and part of what we do is saying, hey, have you thought about this? Have you thought about that? And having those conversations. And you want clients to be engaged and be open to having those conversations. And those are the best clients to have.
Mm-hmm. And you yourself, you've talked with us before about the fact that you put yourself through school in the summers between seasons, right? And I've wondered, like, discipline is obviously a huge part of being on the top of your game. Sorry, it sounds like a pun because we're talking about hockey, but the top of your game in anything. And is it that, do you think that the discipline came to you naturally and applied to hockey and school? Do you think that the discipline you learned when playing helped you be disciplined and get through school? Like, where did your discipline come from?
Well, I mean, there's the old saying, we are the product of our own experiences. So I grew up, I lost my dad at age 8 to a car accident, and obviously unexpected. My mom, who is a registered nurse, raised 3 kids. I was 8. My brother was 11, my sister was 13. So I saw first and foremost, my mom would work 12-hour shifts. We always had home-cooked meals. She took care of us. She raised us. She was amazing. So when you see that discipline up close, not only just like just with everything, with what she juggled, you know, my brother and I played competitive hockey. And education was always important, but I left home at 16. I went to Notre Dame in Wilcox, Saskatchewan. And that was, you had to juggle both, right? And your spiritual side as well. And the house leader in my floor on my dorm was Rod Brindamore. And Rod, I mean, he will be a Hall of Famer, Stanley Cup champion with Carolina. Now the coach of the Carolina Hurricanes, But those were the kind of people that were there. You just did it and it became ingrained in you. So when I went into an Ivy League school, I could have gone to any other school. I went to an Ivy League school to challenge myself and I knew it would be best for me. It just becomes part of your process. So in the summers, I left school early. I left after 2 years. It just became part of me to go back. And when I was playing in Toronto, I went to U of T in the summer. When I was in Carolina, I took summer classes at Duke. And I just wanted to make, it was basically my personal mission to finish that degree. And then eventually getting the CFP and working on my CFA. So the discipline becomes learned, but it came from a young age, from my mom, molded through Notre Dame. And just being around the people, being around the right people really sets the tone. It's so important who your peers are. When you're around people like that, you got to be at your best. And guys like Rod, guys I was at Notre Dame with, Scott Pellerin, Dwayne Norris, Steph Govan, all these guys, they're just good people. And so you had to raise your game up and become disciplined yourself. And it would just become second nature that way.
Yeah. And so like your story really tells me that, you know, from an early age, you got a nature versus nurture situation here. You were raised in around people who, and your mom, for example, that understood discipline and getting through and having a goal and staying focused. But what do guys do who kind of, you know, like we all know these guys, like they go into a structured system, they do well because someone's providing the structure. But the moment that structure is gone, it's gone. And the thing is with, you know, we talked about your advisors and the people that should be, you know, prompting you to work on your outside of hockey matters when you're off the ice. Is there a way to build that structure? Do you ask them in advance to kind of hunt you down a little bit? Like how do you stay accountable to people and make sure that you're not sort of falling between the cracks?
Yeah, I think this is where, I mean, what we do is basically we're reaching out to our players and just to make sure like, hey, where are you? And it's conversations through the season, you know, whether it's monthly meetings, just to check in, how are you doing? And it's not talking always about finances. It's talking about like, hey, you know, I was a healthy scratch or I might get sent to the minors or I might get traded or whatever, but you're having those conversations. And then it becomes very natural to stay in touch. And then when you're in the off season, it's like, hey, well, this is what we talked about last, you know, in the fall. And we knew that we were going to take care of it in the off season. So this is kind of our agenda, what we need to take care of it. I get it. You just finished the playoffs. You know, you're going to go someplace nice for a vacation with your family. You want to reconnect with them, but let's make a point. We're going to have to sit down. We're going to have to address these things. And that's where we're, you know, being that financial director for our clients' lives really helps. We're almost like their fitness coach or their nutrition coach. We're not standing on top of them and we're not being so prescriptive and we're not like giving them, you know, any error, but at the same time, that's what we're hired to do really, and to work in their best interest. And so we're bringing up these things. We're looking, you know, scanning the horizon, not only for risks, but also opportunities. So it's really incumbent upon us and it becomes a natural flow of the off season to have those conversations. So it becomes quite natural. And quite frankly, if there's a client where we have to chase down and they're non-responsive, well, then you have that conversation. And quite frankly, maybe it's not a good fit because we're not in the babysitting service. We're into helping clients really manage and protect and grow what they've earned. I don't need to chase down people. It's not what I want to do. So,
right. And when you're talking about you're talking about the IP Hockey Family Office. For those who might be listening for the first time to one of our interviews with you, can you tell us a little bit about what an IP Hockey Family Office is?
Yeah, absolutely. Basically, it's a coordination of all of your you want to call them your board of advisors, where we go through a very regimented discovery process. We find out basically any hidden train wrecks, any risks out there for you, and also opportunities. Obviously, when you're making lots of money, things are great. But the perspective that I've had, not only as an NHL professional myself for 12 years, but just understanding the transition, understanding the challenges that go with that transition, plus seeing what's happened even when I played. I had a career, a teammate pass away in a car accident when I was in Carolina, you know, and there was all sorts of estate planning issues. There were, you know, Vladimir Konstantinov with Detroit. He was in a terrible car accident after they won the Stanley Cup and became a, you know, in a wheelchair and could never play hockey again. I believe didn't have disability insurance. So you have these not only practical experience, but also the technical experience to really help players go through that. So when we go through the Hockey Family Office, it's basically that discovery, but also touching on risk, investments, estate, taxation, and really the transition and wellness and health and wellness of the individual and also family too. And taking them from the beginning of their career right through the transition. And unlike a lot of people and agents are part of this is once the career is over, you're done. Your relationship with your agent is done. We go beyond that. And we're looking at an advisor for life relationship. And that's what gives me tremendous pride in being able to provide that trusted service to clients that I could never have. I could never find that when I played.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's really the concept. Family office is not the concept of family office is not strictly a hockey concept. The idea of having a wealth management firm that helps bring around a table, your choice or their recommended choices of advisors to discuss sort of a 360 concept, a whole life plan for wealth and all the concepts. That's not a new concept, but applying that to hockey is a little bit newer. And exactly what you're touching on is a lot of the people that are part of a hockey player's life are only there for the length of the career, right? And that can really add to the scared, the scariness of looking at the end of career or when to leave. You know, we see guys hang on through injuries that just must be killing them daily. And we're like, why are they staying? And is that sometimes a factor? Is this idea that you're about to lose kind of your community?
Yeah, I think losing your community and then the fear of the unknown too, right? And so that's why when we sit down with the families, we create that pro game plan where, and it's going to change through their career. You know, when they come in, they're younger, they're single, and then maybe they get engaged and they, you know, they have a partner and then there's kids. That game plan gets set early on in their career, but it also changes with them and their goals change and they mature and, you know, they have more, whether it's kids or people to take care of. It's not just managing the money and then, you know, taking care of a portfolio. But the problem that I saw was so many guys had poor advice, and whether it was investment advice or tax advice or estate planning advice, and that window of earning is so short. And once you're done, you're done. Mm-hmm. You know, like guys aren't going to get a job starting at $3 million after hockey. So I find the biggest challenge is communicating to players. Yes, this is wonderful. This is a great window. Have you worked hard for it? Absolutely. But let's maximize what you've actually earning here. Let's protect it because you're looking forward to another 65 years plus multi-generational wealth. Let's take care of this. This is a tremendous opportunity. But I've seen too many guys lose that opportunity, whether it was bad advice, literally fraud on the advisor end, or just, you know, not paying attention to the details and then only realizing what a great opportunity it was after the fact. So again, that's where the experience that I had with my career. And quite frankly, I was looking for this kind of advisor myself. And at the end of my career, I decided I'm going to become that advisor for the future generations. And that really is the essence of what we do.
Which is awesome. So coming back to that summer break concept and how it's so easy, you know, the summer goes so fast and it's easy to kick the can down the road. I wonder as you're talking, you know, we talk about how as a younger player, you have different priorities or younger person, you have different priorities and as you get along in years. Is it possible part of their a player's fear in coming and saying like, listen, I got to get a plan in order. I got to look at those taxes again, or I got to look at what we're doing at that, you know, cottage property or whatever, is a fear that they are going to have to stop having fun with their money? Because like, honestly, That's got to be pretty exciting when you first get your first, you know, big contract to go out and buy something kind of crazy. And it may be hard to think about letting someone tell you, you got to slow down a bit.
Yeah, I mean, generally speaking, the guys are pretty good. They come from good backgrounds. And it's not to say you can't have fun with your money, but really it's for our perspective is understanding the psychological makeup of those players and really what makes them tick. But there needs to be accountability, and that's where we help. We try and educate our players. And so it's not like they're saying, oh yeah, my financial guy takes care of that. Oh yeah, no, I do that. You know, that they take care of it. I don't even worry about that. They need to understand that they can ask those hard questions. They need to understand, at least at a very high level, what we're doing. I'm not asking them to start doing underwriting their own insurance policies. I'm not asking them to calculate the beta of their portfolio or the correlation coefficient of their assets within their portfolio, but they should understand what we're investing in. They should understand the tax implications of what we're doing. If we're doing a strategy like an RCA, they should understand the benefit for them and maybe the lack of liquidity for them. But that's part of the game plan where we're educating them. And when they understand all the nuances of what we're doing in their best interests, well, then that becomes trust. And trust is something that I think players sometimes bestow a little too easily on certain actors. And I say actors because not everybody has a fiduciary best interest for the client. There's a lot of salespeople out there, and they prey on these players and they prey on the families. And so when we earn trust, we do it the right way by giving proper advice and really getting to know our clients. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people out there. It's about the money. It's about the commissions. It's about making the sale. And sometimes younger players or players, they don't understand the difference until it's too late. And for us, it's just part of the conversation and building this trust. You know, in hockey, you have to back up what you say. Right? Like you've got 20,000 people watching, you have millions of people watching on TV. You can't just be chirping and just saying you're going to do something and never back it up. As a player, we have to back it up. As an advisor, some people chirp, if you want to call it that. They chirp too much and there's no backing it up. We talk the walk, right? We say what we're going to do and we actually do it. And it's all for the benefit of our clients, really.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, so we are at that point where guys are starting to come off their season. And so it's very timely. We're talking about, you know, the summer and how easy it is to kind of procrastinate. So if you had the ear of every guy sort of wrapping up their season right now, what are the first few things you would tell them to write down on a checklist? Like wake up today, pull out your phone or your, you know, notebook. And these are the first few things you need to do this summer before you let the summer get away from you.
Yeah, well, first of all, I think they need to decompress. They need to relax, right? Because you can't turn your mind to things unless you're relaxed. You need to take care of, you know, you need to reconnect with your family. Like I was talking about earlier, when you get into that momentum and that rhythm of the playoffs, I mean, my wife was amazing. She'd take the kids and, you know, she was basically a single parent and I was just kind of doing my own thing. You know, you're having pregame naps, you're sleeping all afternoon, you perform in the evening. So the first and foremost thing I would say, reconnect with your loved ones. You know, if it's with your wife, your kids, your mom, your dad, the people that you truly care about, I would say reconnect with them because there has to be a bit of detachment there when you're playing and you're all in on the playoffs. So that's first and foremost. After that, you start having to look at where am I with my contract, right? So you're having conversations with your agent. And to say, okay, am I still going into my last year of my contract? Am I a free agent this year? What does that look like? So obviously contract status, and then that drives, where am I going to be next year? Am I going to be in a different tax jurisdiction? Am I going to maybe sign in with a Canadian team that you could do certain tax strategies that mitigate the high tax rates in Canada? That plus you're probably packing up for your off-season home. So you got to be worrying about that. You're going to be opening up that house. Where are you in your NHL city? What are you going to do with that? Is it just a lease? Is it a house that you've purchased? You need to tie up that end too. On the risk side, you want to make sure all of your, you know, insurance, whether it's homeowner's insurance, your car insurance, everything's still valid. Again, you're going across different jurisdictions. When you're talking about risk management or estate planning, you got to make sure that if you are changing jurisdictions, are your estate planning documents still valid in your new city? So a lot of it is just really strategizing it. We do have checklists that we go through with our players. You have to know the collective bargaining agreement to say if you are moving in the off season, what you're entitled to as far as moving allowances. And if you are going to a different city, who do you know on that team? Like a lot of guys reach out, hey, you know, I played with so-and-so, he's in the new city. You reach out, you get understanding, where do guys live? Where's the practice rink? All those sorts of things. So it really depends on the situation, but we do have checklists and you just basically go through all these categories to say, hey, is this that? It's almost like a pre-fight flight checklist, but those are a few things that we do talk about.
Cool. Anything else you want to share about the game sevens and the summer break? Anything else that's on your mind right now? I know it's a really exciting time. I've been working with you for a while and I can see the energy that you've got just from being in the playoff season.
Oh yeah. No, it's funny because when I watch the games, I just love it. Like when you, and that's, I have to say, I do miss that because those were the fun times. When I was in Philly, we had some great battles with Buffalo. And I think sometimes my kids hate watching the games with me because there'll be a scrum or there'll be something. I'm like, oh man, did you see that? And they're like, what? And you know, you can see on the side of the camera where there's a guy just giving a face wash, or because it's all, you know, there's guys chirping, there's game and chip, there's, you know, you're talking to a hot goalie, like if it's Carey Price, you're skating through his crease, you're giving him a bump, you're, I miss that because every player on that roster becomes important to the team's success. I don't care if you're the top forward or you're the 12th forward, everybody can be a hero. And that's the true essence of the game and the sport. So yeah, I miss it. And it's one of those things as you get older, my mind, I'm like, yeah, I could, you know, that'd be great to do that again. My body, I wake up in the morning, some mornings, there's no way, like not a chance, but it is fun. And as a fan, no better time of the year for sure.
Very cool. You know what? I'm going to watch the next game. I'm going to be looking, I'm going to take my eye off the puck and I'm going to watch for the players in the periphery, just like you're talking about.
Oh yeah, no question. It's the scrums after, and then what guys are saying to each other or what they're saying to the bench. Oh, it's priceless. And there's some great lines too. It is so fun. So yeah, it's a good time here.
Awesome. Well, Kent, thanks again for joining us. Always great to have you on the show.
Great to be here. Thanks a lot, Jordan. Great to chat.
If people want to learn more about IP Hockey Family Office, where can they go?
Well, you can check, it's hockeyfamilyoffice.com, and we've got a great resource page there. There's a number of articles there as well. And if anybody wants to reach out, we just do a quick call, no obligation really, just a chat, see where you are and see how we can help you. And that's also on that page as well.
Amazing. All right, Kent, thanks so much. Enjoy the enjoy watching from home safely and soundly at home.
Thanks a lot. Have a good one. Cheers.
All right. Thanks for listening to this episode of the IP360 podcast, brought to you by IP Hockey Family Office. Thanks to Kent Manderville for joining us again. If you'd like to learn more about Kent and the Hockey Family Office team, head to hockeyfamilyoffice.com. For more information about this show, you can also reach out at comms@ipprivatewealth.com, or head to ipprivatewealth.com for more information on the IP360 philosophy to wealth management. See you next time. And now for the fine print. The opinions and statements expressed by our team and guests are effective as of the date of this broadcast and may be subject to change. If you'd like to read some more fine print, head to our disclaimer page at ipprivatewealth.com.